it's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. And as I have said on every show for the last almost 6 years now, it is an effort to help you as a listener understand how complex we are as human beings. The linkage between the physical of who we are and the emotional and the spiritual and the mental or the intellectual side of who we are. And the importance of keeping that in balance, because most of us have a difficult time doing that. Many years ago, when I was working with some of the Green Bay Packers in Wisconsin, you know, they were incredible young men that had, you know, everything going for them physically, but they had tremendous anxiety because they weren't sure whether they'd be cut from the team due to an injury or maybe not performing quite up to par as far as the coach was concerned. So this understanding of the balancing act of keeping all of our four systems together so that, you know, you really can live your best life instead of just maybe a partial life with one or two of them in balance is really important. We're going to be talking about the vagus nerve today with Karen Herrick. And before we get started with that, remember that all of the shows, including one I have done previously with her, they're archived on synergyconnectionradio.com. And if you go there and go under show notes, which is on the landing page, there's, 25, 26 pages of shows now, approaching over 400 different shows over these past 6 years. So, you know, go check out some of the guests that I've had. Find Karen's prior one that was done in December, I believe. And you'll see her there talking about the first edition of the vagus nerve and understanding how it works. If you are on that page, also there is a link into Boomers Forever Young. And I do use their products. I have for coming up on 7.5 years now. And they have a brand new product, which is so exciting. I'm one of the test drive, people that are using it, but it's called Myotrol, M-Y-O-T-R-O-L, and it rebuilds muscle. And it's part of this reverse aging that so many people are looking into, because if you lose your muscles, then you lose the ability, obviously, to stand, to participate in activities that you might enjoy participating in. But more importantly, if you fall, that's kind of the beginning of the end for a great many people, because it means that you, might break a hip, you might break a femur, one of the major bones in the body, and it's very difficult to come back from those accidents. I've told people when I returned from seeing my son in November, I fell at the Tampa International Airport going into the women's bathroom. My foot hit something, I slipped, fell, and fractured my left arm up in the shoulder area. And I'm doing incredibly well. The doctors and my physical therapist are like, wow, you know, I'm an anomaly is what they say. And so the fact that I do recover so quickly, I'm going to attribute at least in part to these products that I use from Boomers. If you decide that you want any of those products, you know, when you go in and you peruse all the different ones they have, as you're checking out, there is a discount box. If you just type my name in, L-U-C-Y, you get a 15% discount off of any of your products. They allow me to do that because of the fact that I talk about their products. And so it's a nice little gift I can give my listeners. So again, you just put in L-U-C-Y. I highly recommend the Myotrol when it comes back in. I'm amazed at what it's doing for me. And I also recommend for women, the Heirloom Barley, H-E-I-R-L-O-O-M, that rebuilds muscle, removes toxins from the body, and reduces inflammation. There's another one for small frame women and men, not necessarily small frame men, but it's called Gladiator Barley. And it's got 20 grams of protein, which is in an amino acid format. So it's immediately absorbed by the body and goes in and does what it needs to do. So check out those, check out the videos, see what you think. I'm very impressed with this company. All right, so welcome back, Karen. And we're going to be discussing, of course, how the vagus nerve works. And you mentioned before we started the recording how this impacts those that are grieving the loss of a loved one, because the
Right.
parasympathetic system, which the vagus nerve is a part of, is it touches every single organ in our body, which I think a lot of people don't understand and don't appreciate. And certainly if we're going through any type of grief, whether it's, trauma that was done to us or the loss of a loved one. I've had both now, so I can experience that. But it makes a big difference in how, I don't know, your diet, the way you absorb food and nutrition, the grieving process itself as far as depression or anxiety. So welcome to the show again, and let's delve in and see what you can explain to us about how this nerve works.
Okay, so thank you, Lucy, for having me again. It's always a pleasure. And I think we talked a lot last time about the vagus nerve in your physical body. So the big news, too, is that they have two bodies. They have a physical body and a spiritual body, which we're really not taught a lot about. And the spiritual body, the only purpose for it is to take your soul over to the other side, because your soul is immortal, it does not die. And so it needs to have a car,
Vehicle.
a vehicle to take it there.
Can I have a Lamborghini to take me to the other side?
I beg your
I said, can I have a Lamborghini maybe to take me to the other side?
Hey, you can imagine anything you want. In fact, Jung encourages that. He calls that active imagination.
Okay.
we have this spiritual body, and it houses the psychic centers of the physical body, of the spiritual body, in the physical. There is an illustration. I don't know if you're going to be able to show that to them, but they can also look through, peruse my last book, The Psychology of the Soul and the Paranormal, and it will show them a spiritual body illustration in the physical body if they want to see it. So what we have now is we have evidence for life after death. And so what is that? We have near-death experiences where people are going to the other side. Some of them are having a spiritual where they see the light, their grandmother, their loved ones, and they come back. And sometimes when they come back, they have greater gifts as far as maybe being clairvoyant, being able to see different vibrational levels here that they didn't see before. So we have near-death experiences. We have after-death communications. So those are called ADCs. So if your mom dies and she always liked red cardinals, she tells you when if there's a life on the other side, I'm going to show you a red cardinal, especially on my birthday or Mother's Day or whatever. And these things happen to people. So then a red cardinal comes and stays on your shoulder for an hour and a half, which is very unusual. And your faith is increased that there is life after death. Now, that's if you believe, right? And you've had a mom who's taught you that kind of stuff. But ADCs, people see coins. They ask their loved ones for parking spaces. They just make their loved one a part of their life because they have had these different physical signs that come. Reincarnation. America is not big on reincarnation. I think about 25% of the population supposedly believes in it. Younger people from 18 to like 26, they seem to believe in it, and then I don't know what happens to them. But a lot of people that leave their body, they have a life review where they have a movie where they see their life from this birth till, till right now. And then a lot of them see their past lives. So some of those people that have near-death or out-of-body experiences now believe in reincarnation because they've been shown another life. Then you have mental mediumship, where mediumship is where you go to a medium or a psychic. Mostly mediums speak to dead people, and psychics are where you ask, where did grandma hide the money in the attic before you sell the house? Those kinds of questions. And the mediums talk to grandma. So the mental mediumship is how we do it now. Yeah, years ago in the 1800s, they would produce maybe another voice or another body that would talk to you, but we don't do that so much anymore, that I know of anyway. We also have research from the Bigelow Institute of Consciousness Studies in Las Vegas, where someone won $500,000 for the best paper on why he believed in life after death.
Wow.
So if you want to go on to that BICS, BICS, Las Vegas, Nevada, the Institute of Consciousness Studies has all of those papers that people wrote a couple of years ago. I think there were 29 winners, and everybody had studied the paranormal for at least 5 years to have written these. We're getting more and more information. Also, the American Psychiatric Association has just published a book, or probably this last year, called Death is an Altered State of Consciousness, meaning there is something after. Psychology has never admitted that ever. So that's a brand new thing. And I'm hoping to do a webinar on that book. I have just moved from New Jersey to Nevada. So right now I'm a little bit just in the middle of boxes. But a couple of months I want to do that, because that's very important for therapists to understand that psychology now is saying there's something else because of all these stories we've heard for 200 years.
Can I share something with you? Because
Sure.
I haven't done this, I don't think, with you. But when my husband died, which has been over 6.5 years ago, he knew that I believed in vibrational frequencies, that we are just a physical being housing, as you said, our soul. And this frequency moves on after our death. He knew I believed that. And so one of the things that happened is he was able to literally block my phone from getting two phone calls from he was in hospice, which was about 10 minutes from me. He blocked that. I didn't find the phone messages there until afterwards. And his son, who lived 40 minutes away, he also blocked it from Gary's phone. So neither one of us were informed that my husband was going through transition. So he wanted me to come after he died. But here's the kicker. He had something called pericardial effusion 3.5 years before his death. And he was always cold. He was pretty much white because of this cold condition. And it was because with pericardial effusion, you have 500, or he did at least 500 cc's of fluid that was crushing his heart. So when they took the fluid off of his heart, then he just never was warm again. The circulation changed. After his death, and the nurse that was there that greeted me, because his daughter called me from Minneapolis, and she said, has the nursing home, has hospice reached you? And I said, no. And she said, well, dad is transitioning. So that is how I found out. So I called them, and it was after hours. It was on a quarter of 11 at night. And they said, we've been trying to reach you. That's how I found out that there were indeed two phone calls. And I get there, and he had passed about 5 minutes before I arrived. I think what he wanted to show me then was the difference between his life as he knew it and I knew it, and death. Because when I walked in and picked up his hand was warm for the first time in 3.5 years. And his face had color, and it had not had color for 3.5 years. And the nurse could not figure it out. And I just smiled because I said, he's just showing me what we've talked about and what I've always known. It stayed that way, more importantly, until 1 o'clock in the morning. It did not change until the coroner arrived, because this is on Halloween of all days. And he arrived at 1 o'clock in the morning. And only then, after they had put him into this very lovely quilted bag and they let me say goodbye, then his face was white. But up until then, his hand stayed warm and his face had color.
Wow, I love
Isn't that a cool story? I mean, and
it.
there's so many other stories that I've had from people over the years that have told me similar kind of things. But that one, because it happened to me, I was just like blown away.
I know. And to feel warmth in his hand after 3.5 years.
After 3.5 years. So I mean, your vibrational frequencies, your soul can make anything happen. I don't quite understand, maybe as a therapist myself, I have some ideas as to why we don't understand this and make it work for us while we're alive. But certainly after death, we can come in there and make anything happen. I think prior, because of the complexity of who we are, those frequencies, in fact, I was explaining this to somebody the other day that is a client. And I said, it's just like your EKG, little blips on our lifeline, if you will. And every time we get a little blip, that is a trauma of some kind. Somebody doesn't love you, somebody dies, somebody doesn't invite you to a birthday party. It changes the frequency of your entire life.
Yes.
And so from birth to death, we have so many little blips, in our life. And if we don't grasp and release those negative moments from our lives, then the frequency can't change. But it can change at death. Does that make some sense?
Makes a lot of sense. And what is wrong with one of the things that's wrong with our culture is that we don't talk about vibrational frequencies and how they come in and out of us, right? So I love it when you start talking about that, because I always talk about the law of vibration, and we all have different levels of energy, and we need to know that. And people know that when they'll meet somebody at a restaurant and say, well, doesn't she or he, don't they have great energy? Don't you just, and they have vibrational energy is individual, right? So I love it when you start talking about that. And then when you mentioned the anxiety that these football players had, that you were working with, that's where the vagus nerve can really help you in your everyday life with your physical body, is in the vagus nerve breathing, where you breathe into the count of four and then you breathe out as long as you can go. And so that will lower your anxiety. And I do that at night when I can't go to sleep, or if I decide I'm not going to read a book, I'm just going to breathe. And it really helps that. And that helps you calm yourself down. So you're actually using your breath and in vibration with your body that's like this, in anxiety, and you're calming it down, because Darwin said that the stomach tells the brain danger, danger, and your heart rate goes up. And he called it the pneumogastric nerve, which is another name for the vagus. So yes, he was right. And that's why I even started to study it. Because in psychology, you can help somebody with anxiety or depression or panic if they use their breath. So that's the biggest thing that the vagus does for you at any time. So if you're afraid of cats and you see a cat, just know, hey, I'm safe right here. I'm in my car. What can the cat do to me? I'm going to breathe and practice it. Just practice that kind of breath to calm yourself down. So this vagus nerve has really helped me help people of dysfunctional and alcoholic homes. But then I started. I've always been interested in psychics and mediums, and I've always had fun. I used to live in California, and there seemed like there was a psychic fair every weekend, and we just had a good time. And then of course I've lost a child. My oldest daughter is on the other side. And a couple of husbands, even though I was divorced from them at the time, but they're over there too. So I've gone to mediums, and sometimes I just go for fun, and maybe somebody comes in, I have mediums, names of mediums. If they're interested, they can always email me. So anyway, if a client comes in who's lost Charlie, let's just say. So when they come in, of course, I meet them. I tell them how sorry I am for their loss, and how long has it been, and circumstances of the loss, and tell me about Charlie, because that's what somebody wants to do if they're in grief. They want to talk about Charlie. And so then, and then after, we get to know each other a little bit. I said, "What do you think happens to people when they die?" Well, and they always have an answer. Now, I don't know if that's because I always work with people from dysfunctional homes, and what they've learned from, why did people from dysfunctional homes have more near-death experiences than people that didn't live in a dysfunctional home? they had them because they could disassociate easier in their childhood. And then if they were on the cardiac table having an operation, they would have more of a chance of having a near death, of leaving their body, because they came from dysfunction where they didn't have to stay in the room mentally. So that's one of the benefits of coming from a dysfunctional family or an alcoholic or drug addicted family, that you're going to have more spiritual experiences than the average person. So when people came to me, I ran the Center for Children of Alcoholics. So they all came from dysfunction that I knew of. And they all had, even though they didn't know it, an ability to disassociate easier. So they would say, yes, they knew where they had an idea where people go when they die. Some people don't, but so they're one step ahead in that process. And then I ask, have you had any signs of loved ones since he's passed? Oh, I smell his cologne. I smell the cigars in the study. You know, there's always something. And Raymond Moody said within the first year of grief, a widow experiences, two-thirds of widows experience some type of signs from their husband, deceased husband. And then of course I always want to see a photo, and they usually have photos on their phone. So we just talk about that. And then I ask them if they would like to receive later on in our process, information about scientific research that supports life after death. So I leave that open, and I all say yes. I mean, why wouldn't they, right? Okay, so when you have this spiritual body illustration in front of you, or if you can look at the cover of my third book, you will see that the vagus nerve comes in at the top of your head, goes down around your neck, touches your amygdala, which is fight, flight, or frozen feelings, then goes down into your heart and then down into your stomach. So I believe that when the spiritual body, when the soul is ready to leave, the vagus nerve starts to vibrate. And I'm going to give you, and it becomes the tunnel. Let me read you a story if I can find it. Yeah, here it is. This was a guy who worked in an office, and he was just working with Robert Monroe, who was from Virginia. And Monroe started a organization where people could go and learn to leave their bodies. Because in the 1950s, 60s, I think he was, or maybe 70s, he had Robert Monroe is an author. You can read some of his books. He would leave his body on Sunday when his wife went to church. And he got so he could leave his body on command. And then all these people to come, and they just helped him and volunteered. And then he started this organization where people now can go and learn how to leave their physical body if they want to. This was a gentleman who was an office manager, and he had a shooting through the tunnel experience. I am going rapidly now through a tunnel. I was standing straight, and now I am just sucked up through this tunnel. It is very narrow, and I am rapidly shooting through the tunnel. Now I see a point of light at the other end. That's the top of your head, the top chakra. I am, he didn't say that, I did. It is helping to propel me. I am coming out. I am going into a different dimension, and I have just completely slowed down. And I am right at the opening of this point, and now I am gently coming through, and everything is green. It is so bright, and it all is almost blinding, because coming out of the dark tunnel, it's a different feeling. Now it is a really strong energy that seems to be pressing against me. It is a great feeling now. This is a new energy level. I feel strong. Everything around me is green. It is so bright that it is taking me a minute to adjust and to absorb where I am. So that's just an average office manager who was practicing leaving his body and talked about the tunnel. And now I'm just going to read to you what I think, after all my research, happens to the vagus nerve as the soul is leaving the body. Okay? And then you can ask any questions you want. Around the ears, they usually hear a whirring noise, and this sends out an impulse to change rotation of the body. The vibration is now getting stronger. This activates the sacrum through the vagus in the middle of our sympathetic and parasympathetic sections of the nervous system as chemicals are being released. And this energy pierces the center of one's skull, where the medulla oblongata and the pineal gland open the top chakra. And people usually hear a click in the head area, which results in leaving one's body and expanding their consciousness with an out-of-body or near death. This bodily energy would be like the energy that powers the orgasmic response. And this magnetic operation depends entirely on the pure effort of the soul using the spiritual etheric body. So it's like being born to another place.
You know, what I found kind of interesting is the color, because green, you know, as you exit the body, if you think about the heart chakra, that is green.
Yes.
And so moving into green would kind of lead me to think that you're moving into the intuitive part of who you are.
That could be, yes.
Yeah.
And everybody probably has a different experience. Because your soul determines, I believe, the spiritual experience that you have, or whatever it is that you do experience.
The other thing I was wondering, when I was doing some studying with the different chakra levels, I'm evidently connected to the 11th chakra, and there's 12, and the 12 being divine. But because I'm a healer, one of the things that happened that was scientific, in the sense that I was in ICU when this took place, and this was 3.5 years before my husband died, that he had this pericardial effusion. So they didn't know what it was for the longest time, and most people would have died with that. When you do have it, it's usually not diagnosed until death, and then they go, oh wow, this is what it was.
Right.
In his case, he had been to two other hospitals, and those hospitals misdiagnosed him, and he still stayed alive. So the third time was when they discovered it, and that's when they told me he had 1.5 hours to live when he was in ICU. So at that point, the doctors left me, and the heart monitor was right behind him with his oxygen level. And the reason that they said he could only live 1.5 hours was his legs had already started modeling. So up to his knees, they were more purple than they were anything. And they knew that he had 1.5 hours of oxygen left in his body, and that his heart would eventually stop. So the 78% oxygen, they couldn't do surgery to take the fluid off of his heart, because your oxygen level for surgery has to be 98%. And it's not putting a mask on you and giving you oxygen, which is what I thought. It's actually a cellular thing. And so the cells have to be at 98%, or you die during surgery.
Wow.
So they leave me with him and go back to the nurse's station, thinking that I'm going to be there roughly 1 hour to 1.5 hours. And then he would be deceased. Instead, I heard a very clear message in my head, my brain: put your right hand on his top of his head and put your left hand on his heart. And because I'm a healer, I knew they wanted me to send in energy. And I go, they, because I'm guessing this is my spiritual guides.
Right.
So I did that, and I just got very quiet, and I started sending energy in. It literally took 30 seconds for his oxygen level to go from 78% to 98%. And the doctors ran down the hall. I could hear him coming, and they said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm doing energy work. And I just left my hands there. And they said, well, we can take him to surgery now. Don't stop. But the doctors told me later, they said, what you did is impossible. And I thought that was so interesting, because I went, you say it's impossible, but you took him to surgery. You took 500 cc's of fluid off of his heart. You put in a pericardial window. Had I not done what I did, you could not have done what you did. And they had no answer, except that it was impossible. They had never seen anything like this.
Right. So they're not used to miracles.
They're not used to miracles, and yet they happen every day.
They do, yes. One study in 2004 said, these doctors that were interviewed, they said 55% of them had seen miracles. That was the only explanation they had.
Exactly.
And that happens, right? In our different frequencies.
Yeah, it does. And I think when you can get into one of those frequencies and ideally kind of live there, stay there, your life can be totally magical because it's not just the law of attraction with creating what you want in life. It's really being part of life, which is magical.
Well, it's interesting because Oprah, during one of her spiritual shows, about 45 minutes into, said to this gentleman, I get good ideas in the shower. Can you tell me why? And he said, no. And she said, well, people say it's because the warm water is hitting the back of my neck. And I said, yeah, I'm sitting in the family room, folding laundry. And yeah, it's hitting your vagus nerve.
And that's why she got the great
That's
ideas.
why she got the good idea. So that's important that people know that really good ideas, that's your intuition, right? And that you do have spiritual guides. You do have loved ones up there that may be still trying to help you. And they give you thoughts. They cannot talk, but they can give you thoughts. But in realizing that you get thoughts that aren't your own. Carl Jung had a guru that came to him at night in his dreams, and Philemon, and he said to him one day, you're so arrogant. You think that every idea in your head is yours. And you really have to think about that, because I get ideas that aren't mine, right? But that's a really neat point to that you should make, really, about the vagus nerve. That's how you get the ideas. They come in on these physical spiritual psychic centers in your body. And the best place is right around your ear. So right around your neck is where you might hear a voice or you might have a thought. And so your intuition, and the more you develop that and listen to those thoughts, is you're going to have a better life, because you can kind of depend on your intuition or write it down. And when you're sitting in a car, when you're standing in a shower, you're in a standing meditation position. When you're sitting in a car, you're in a sitting meditative position. You get great ideas in the car too. And if you don't write them down or make a note somehow on a napkin or whatever, and in the shower, as soon as you get out, write it down, because it's going to
It's
leave.
gonna leave. Yeah, absolutely.
And so they give us these short hints about our life. And
Well, one of the things that has happened over and over through, hundreds and hundreds of years is people will simultaneously in different parts of the world have the same thought.
yes.
And, so it's just whoever acts on it,
Right.
the quickest, that it becomes their multi-million dollar idea, so to speak. But, whether it's how to save a life or how to create something that is going to make a difference in the world, we get these collective ideas. And I think it does come in on streams of consciousness from the powers, that be. And if we're tuned in, so we have like an AM station and an FM station. If we're tuned in to that higher frequency, we get more of those wonderful ideas that are out there.
Right, it comes in on waves, and it's up to you to pick them up. Rachel Maddow, she's a political consultant on, I think, CNN, I don't know. She said she gets such good ideas in the shower, she doesn't want to get out.
Oh my God. Well, she could have a whiteboard in there, maybe with permanent marker.
It's so important to people, to know that. I think that everybody, they're James said there was this invisible world, William James, the father of American psychology. There was this invisible world all around us. And I often think about that. Yeah, I believe that, and if you do believe that, you do listen better.
And
So
maybe.
no matter what modality, if you just listen to all these wonderful stories that people have. I just taught a grief workshop the other evening, and one of the therapists said that her mother's favorite flower, believe it or not, was a dandelion. And she was up by the Arctic circles, got out of the car, and right on the dirt road was this dandelion growing.
In the Arctic Circle.
And I said, do you see? Everybody gets a different spiritual experience.
Exactly. Oh my goodness
And
gracious.
that was wonderful. And then everybody, one other woman at the end the next day said, I couldn't believe the stories. I said, yeah. And people have them.
You know, and they're more free, I guess I would say, to discuss them today than ever before. Because
Right.
you discuss these same kind of stories 150 years ago, 200 years ago, you were probably, if you were a female, you were a witch and you were burned at the stake.
Right.
And so women do have usually a higher level of intuition than men do, because men were born more to, hunt and to war, kill territorially, defend their property, defend their homes and their families. So their way of doing things was totally different than a female's. But I think that's why so many women were burned at the stake, as they used their intuition, they had knowledge, and yet the world wasn't ready for it at that point.
Yeah, they had some knowledge, but they couldn't explain it.
No,
So
and it's
it's the
hard to
same
explain
in
today, though.
devil, you know, the devil.
Yeah. Well, Karen, our show is over. So can you maybe share with people how they can contact you? And of course, I have all that information also on the synopsis at the bottom, so people can refer back to that as well.
Yeah, I just sent you some changes to that.
Okay.
Okay. So the best way to get me right now is through email, Karen. At Karen Herrick, HerrickCom. And I do my email at least twice a day, and then I can get back to you. And there's always KarenEHerrick.com, which is my website. And I have 20-minute lectures on there that are free about the Vegas. And then you can see some of these illustrations too. And also some lectures or not in more interviews. Where I've interviewed people or they've interviewed me. And I can learn a lot that way from the website and my YouTube channel.
Well, you will be back on the show in the not too distant future, and we'll
Okay.
continue this wonderful conversation that we're having about understanding how to, I guess, get in touch with the vagus nerve, how to make it work for you rather than against you.
That's right.
Okay.
No more anxiety.
No more anxiety, right? Well, everyone that's listening, please share the show with your friends and family. People need to understand how this nerve works throughout your body, especially if people are grieving. I think they'll probably want to be in touch with Karen and let her assist you through that grieving process by maybe helping you understand the vagus nerve and how to utilize it to the best of your ability. And thanks again for being, excuse me, on the show, Karen. And we'll see you again in a few more months. And everybody, please go out there and make this your best life. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.